Back in Continental Airlines Arena, a run-and-gun type of night, and the Nets able to hold off the high-charged Golden State Warriors 105-97 as they end a two-game losing streak. Good to have you with us in our Meadowlands studio for this edition of the Nissan Post Game. The final score of tonight's game, 105-97. The Nets win it here at Continental Airlines Arena. Now, Lawrence Frank was concerned about this Warriors team. Even though they came in 12-13, they're very highly charged. They give up a lot of points, but they score a lot of points, and they cause a lot of steals and disruptions. But the Nets able to hold them off and get Nakbar with 13 points in those 23 minutes and a 105-97 win. Again, Nenad Krstić a double-double, following up a 27-point performance with 26 tonight. He also had 14 rebounds. Vince Carter, again, a quiet night. Didn't heave up as many shots either, just 3 of 10 from the field, but he had 11 points and added 8 rebounds. Now let's talk about Jason Kidd and his night. The 81st triple-double of his career as he continues to distance himself now from Wilt Chamberlain. 10 points tonight, 11 rebounds, and 12 assists. And he just continues up the list of all-time greats in that department. Hey, a quick programming reminder, immediately coming up after the post game, it is the best of Mike and the Mad Dog. We'll find out what's on the mind of Mike and Chris. That's coming up immediately after this edition of the Nissan Post Game. When we come back after this break, we'll talk to Ian Eagle and Jim Sponarkle about tonight's game. Michelle Beadle will have reaction from the locker room, and we're going to get you caught up on what else is happening around the NBA tonight. A lot more ahead on the Nissan Post Game, so stay with us.
The Nets postgame show on Yes is presented by Nissan and your local Nissan dealer.
Hello, fellas.
To be later.
Hey,
Bobby.
Do me speak it a good English?
Yes, very, very good English.
Yes.
Notice how he takes a crack shot at me when I don't have a microphone.
That's the only way I can do it, bro. Yeah. Just like that. No issues. No worries.
Did you tape that just then?
I would go with
that. That was good stuff, yeah.
I'd go with that.
That's it.
Before we get to Ida and Jim, let's go into the truck. Bill Bolin's standing by.
Yeah. I like it.
Billy, I want you to explore the space.
Good. I'll see you next week then, guys. Have a good holiday.
Really enjoy your packages. What?
Bill, I want you to explore the space. Good to have you back once again on the Nissan Post Game. The Nets beating the Warriors tonight 105-97, so they're back on the winning track. And let's talk about this game now as we go courtside with Ian Eagle and Jim Sponarkle. And, you know, guys, let's talk about the significance of this win. With about 4 minutes left, the Nets led it by 9. And at that point, given what's happened the past couple games, you're thinking, all right, these guys have to hang on to this lead. Past couple games, they weren't able to do that, even when they challenged. But tonight, they were able to hold off the Warriors.
Well, and they were also playing a team, Bob, that has had their own fourth quarter issues, close game problems, and certainly on the road. Golden State is yet to prove that they can win consistently. They have one win on the road against Dallas. But an important win for the Nets, no matter who the opponent is right now, at home, they have to reestablish that confidence and a little bit of that mystique that they used to have, because I just don't think teams are intimidated coming into Continental Airlines Arena anymore.
I would agree with you on that, and especially if you look at the stats here, too. You see 40% shooting field goal percentage, so not a great night shooting the basketball. They did a fabulous job, though, in terms of the bench, I thought, complimenting the players on the floor. So overall, a good situation that Lawrence Frank had. You know, it's a funny game the Warriors play. You know, they're up and down. It's a ragged type of game. And in the first half, I think the Nets fell into the trap of playing that kind of game. And then they tapered it down a little bit in the second half.
You know, your point about the bench, Jim, leads me to my next thing. And it's got to be a pretty good sign that you can get a win and that kind of contribution on a night in which, you know, Vince Carter, instead of taking 17, 21 shots, only 3 of 10, but they end up getting the win.
You know, Bobby, I think there has to be a lot more of that. And once this team can find its true balance, we know that Vince Carter can explode at any moment for 30, 35 points. But you can't wait for it. And I do think there have been stretches this season, Jimmy, where they've kind of sat around and waited for it. Tonight they didn't wait for it. Knockbar comes out. Adams comes out. Mikey Moore in limited action. Marcus Williams makes some plays. The bench was a huge key tonight for Lawrence Frank.
They were. And in this type of game and this type of rhythm in the game, I think, you know, guys like Adam can excel. Williams will excel. And you have to give the credit to Knockbar hitting a big shot there. Also really working, I thought, hard going after the basketball a couple of times too. So his overall performance with confidence was there. And you know, one of the things about him is that the middle of the floor was open. He comes down the middle. They keep finding him. So I have to give credit to Lawrence Frank and company because they were smart enough to utilize that. A big steal by Knockbar. And then this was very, very big, the huge three, to really give them some nice space and pretty much put the game out of reach.
Some would say a Slovenian dagger, Bob. Some would say, not me.
Some people, what are they, people standing behind you or something?
Yeah, we actually have a couple of guys behind us saying, Slovenian dagger.
Yeah, we'll take a poll now.
Hey, let's talk about some of the other contributors in this game. And you mentioned Knockbar. It is a great point that Lawrence Frank is learning to trust these guys, know when to give them minutes. But Hassan Adams, every time he comes off that bench, he seems to energize this team, and he is not afraid to go inside.
He's got a couple of nicknames right now, Hot Sauce being one of them, Tasmanian Devil being another, because he does make things happen. What are you doing? You're looking at me strange?
Just thinking of hot sauce.
I didn't give him the nickname. I'm just telling you what's going around. I'm trying to give you a flavor for the team. But my point being, he does make things happen when he checks into the game, and it's almost an unorthodox style that he brings, which can be alarming for the opposition.
Yeah, it can be. And sometimes, and I know this really sounds crazy, is that you want a guy coming off the bench and you can live with the mistakes he'll make as long as they're high energy. And that's exactly what he's doing. So Lawrence Frank can turn to him when the starters are kind of lulled out. They're not playing real well, and it happens on given nights. Mm-hmm. Put him in there. See what happens. He's energizing people to make a mistake, but he picks up the tempo.
You know, it's interesting, Jim. They thought about chunky salsa for him. It just didn't fit. Hot sauce was much better.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason Kidd. I think he might end up number two on the list for triple doubles this season. He just keeps throwing them up, guys. And 81st tonight. Talk about his game tonight.
It's not even like it's a struggle for Kidd, where he's waiting until the final seconds to get a cheap rebound or a cheap assist. He's doing this within the flow of the ball game. 10 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists for Kidd, and the triple doubles are coming at a fast and furious rate.
Yeah, said a different way, he's like the sour cream and guacamole on the taco salad.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't know.
You're trying to join the party here.
Well, everybody else is coming up with
Are you going to talk about Jason Kidd or not?
Well, I will. I mean, with Kidd, once again, the thing about him was that he wills this team to victories, and again, in the fourth quarter, and that's when you really want Kidd to appear, and that's what he generally does. I mean, he works for those triple-doubles, but once in a while we see him stack up the points and the stats in the first half, but he carries it over into the fourth quarter when you need him.
Bird, you look like you're about to come with something right there. You?
I got nothing.
All right,
I'm going to call a 20-second timeout.
Let's look at that smirk on his face, though. You're right.
Let's look at the upcoming schedule. It's like a stuffed burrito. It really is. You got the Cavaliers and Lakers coming up, the Bucks. You know, if you would have looked at this schedule just a few games ago, you would have thought, boy, the way they're playing, they're really going to have a tough time. Given what you saw tonight, how do you think they might fare against the Cavaliers on Wednesday?
Well, I think – Jimmy, you all right? Tonight should be a confidence booster for the win that the Nets came up with against Golden State. But Cleveland brings a whole different feel to this building because of LeBron James. Golden State had Baron Davis, who was making plays, but LeBron can put a team on his back. And if you fall behind 8, 9 points, that could quickly turn into 14 or 15. That's
straight.
That's really Jimmy's done. Bobby, you and I will talk, though. He's got, like,
no, but you know what,
he's got Pico de Gallo, emerging out of his eye ducts.
You're leaning towards a good point, though, because, you know, with the way the Nets have actually been playing, the fact that LeBron's coming in and Kobe are both coming in this week, they're almost like mini statement games for them. Are they for real? Are they going to step up? Are they going to play? Because hopefully the crowd will be here and be behind them.
All right. Exhale now.
Way to bounce back, Jim.
He's done.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Good recovery.
Feliz Navidad to you, Spanarkle.
Thank you.
All right. Now, there was one category in which the Warriors led, and this should not surprise anybody. Big concern for Lawrence Frank and the team coming in, that up-and-down game that the Warriors love to play, and they did lead in fast break points, in fact, dramatically, 35-16. But controlling that tempo at times was key for Lawrence Frank, and he's happy his team was able to do it and getting the win.
Yeah, that was obviously, I mean, 80% of their offense is in transition, and our floor bounce many times was obviously poor. I mean, with the number of fast break points they had, and just in terms of matching up in transition, especially when you go against a team like Golden State, many times it's not going to be your own man. So we got caught in some bad ways. You got to give Golden State credit, and yet obviously it's an area that wasn't a strength of ours. But I think the encouraging thing is in the fourth quarter, defensively, we were significantly better. We made them play in the half court. We were able to put together consecutive stops. Obviously, Nene gave us a great start, great first half, and was a hub for us. He got a number of easy buckets because of guys being able to find seams in the zone. And then in the second half, huge energy from Bulky and Mikey, giving us a big lift. And it wasn't a Picasso, but it's a win, and we have to continue to improve.
You talked earlier today just about, you know, the team playing well and having a chance to win at least when Vince wasn't at his best. You know, tonight, obviously, again, but you guys were able to win. Is that the best sign for you guys that, you know, even when he's not playing well, you obviously can win the game?
Well, I mean, what you can't look at is just the fact that he didn't have a big scoring night. He didn't play well defensively. He did some very good things. He made some very good passes, extra passes. And when teams are zoning you, it's a little bit different than in man. You're not going to get the same amount and the same type of touches. So I think he definitely impacted the game, and yet it doesn't need to be reflected in how many points he scores.
The offense following the defense for once?
Yeah, I think especially, that fourth quarter, I think, where we were trading buckets, and then, finally we locked down, and, it was good to see because, I mean, I think even when you look at it statistically, is that I don't know if we've won a game that we haven't scored 100 points, which isn't really a trademark of ours, where, is to be a high-level team, which we aspire to be, you have to guard. We've said a number of times there are three exceptions to the league, that guys that can win and yet just be totally committed to just offense only.
Sorry if you already addressed this, but is it Collins? He didn't start obviously because of matchup reasons.
Yeah, exactly. We initially had Twin and Curley starting, based on Barnes starting, but then Richardson coming back, and when they started Richardson, we just decided it was in our best interest just to have one big out on the floor.
Is it good though for the confidence of the other guys? Just even when Vince isn't on as far as scoring goes, guys come off the bench, get 13 for Bogey. How important is that just to let them know that he doesn't, you don't have to rely on him every single night?
Well, yeah, I think that's what teams, that's what teams all about, is that you're the sum of all parts. You don't just rely on one individual. And so I think, you look at Hassan in the first half, gave us a nice lift. Bokey and Mikey in the second half. Jason, in terms of directing in that second half, in terms of finding seams against their zone, did a very good job of orchestrating. So we have a lot of different pieces, and the key for us as we improve is just to come together and just everyone kind of do their part, and not every night you're not going to make shots, but yet you can always impact the game in different ways on both ends, even if you don't even make a shot.
Well, he's hung in there pretty well lately, playing, and especially tonight after the.
Yeah, I think he deserves a lot of credit. He didn't let go of the rope. He worked very hard. He got shots in every day. He did extra conditioning work. So I think that's a great lesson because, as we said, whether fair or unfair, you can't play everyone. And, you know, we saw, you know, now, you know, Hassan is playing a little bit of a bigger role. But it's a true credit to Boakye that, so to speak, he didn't let go of the rope, and he gave us a great performance.
Coach, if like, you know, a lot of players and stuff have been saying this isn't something you guys turn around overnight, if you look at it as a stepping stone, is tonight maybe a lesson in fourth quarter execution for you guys where you guys really...
Well hopefully, and I think with it is I think everyone's looking for, like, the turning point, you know, for the Nets. And, you know, I don't know if there's going to be a turning point. I think what we have to work on is getting back to our basic fundamentals and just having good habits every single day. And all those things will take care of themselves. You know, I think, you know, because of our poor start and the expectations that we have of ourselves, that we're all kind of looking for that one game. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be, you know, an everyday commitment to just trying to get better. And, you know, and hopefully we'll continue to make that commitment.
Well, Lawrence Frank tonight did a great job of managing the minutes of 11 different Nets players. Now, among them, Bostian Nakbar, who we haven't seen a whole lot of lately, but we saw a lot of him tonight. Almost 22 minutes, 13 points, 6 rebounds. And a few moments ago, we talked to Michelle Beadle.
Hi, Boakye. I know that when the changes were happening and the subs and all that stuff, you were very vocal about your playing time getting cut. So could you talk a little bit about tonight's game and what a big deal it was to get all those minutes?
Well, it's... You know, sure doesn't feel right when it doesn't feel good when coach tells you that you know, you're out of the rotation for the next couple of games. But I gotta admit, I did stay focused. I did kept on working hard, and that helped me. You know, just being ready. You know, coming in today, I knew I might get a chance because the style, how the Warriors play. You know, up and down, and I think I did all right. You know.
So you knew before the game, you had plenty of time to mentally get ready for this?
Well, I didn't know how much I'm going to play. I was pretty sure I'm going to get at least a couple of minutes, you know, maybe help out our big guys in case they come in foul trouble. But, you know, I think Coach saw something that he liked, and, you know, he kept me in for a long stretch. And I'm glad that I was able to help, you know.
Not knowing how long you're going to get to play, how big a deal is it that you realize that you could have 2 minutes or you could have 20 minutes that you have to go out there and show everything?
Well, that's the hard part. You don't know. I mean, it's you know, I've been in this situation before in my previous years, and you know, I'm just trying to make the best of it. So when the chance comes, you know, you try to do the best you can. But like I said, it's never easy. It really isn't.
The Nets beating the Warriors tonight, 105-97. Now, we know the struggles that Vince Carter has had the past three games in terms of shooting. Now, here's an interesting stat. In the 21 games, rather, prior to the last three, Vince had never scored less than 15 a game. But his last three games, games of 12, 12, and 11 points, shooting just 25% over that span. But here's the hook. Tonight, they got a win, and that was very important in the absence of Vince's shooting tonight. Now, let's listen to Vince just a few moments ago.
It was fun. No, just... You know, when it's not going, you have to be able to help the team somehow. And I just wanted to rebound and try to find the open guy. I mean, I think the guys did a great job just freelance cutting, and I was just trying to find him.
So did the zone confuse you at all early on?
No, we knew it was coming. We knew that they were going to play zone. So we just had to just continue to find ways to attack the zone. The middle was open all night, but we just had to figure out ways to make it happen. And, you know, I think late in the game we've really figured it out. And we took our time. I think more than anything, we're really focused, and especially in the end of the game.
You guys have struggled sometimes in the fourth quarter. It was nice tonight to turn it around to have a strong fourth quarter.
Yeah, we had a very unimpressive, so to speak, end of the third, I think when they moved it up to 10. And we were just able to focus and, you know, just play together as a team and just execute on both ends.
Is it demoralizing when they're getting all those runouts off makes?
That's just the way they play. So it's tough to – you just have to focus in on making sure two guys are back, because they contest and they're out of there. And they're up and down team. They just get it and throw it ahead, kind of like a phoenix. So it's just, sometimes you tend to lose focus. But we gave up like 28 to 30 points, if I'm not mistaken, on just transition baskets. But, you know, we were able to lock down when it counts.
Is this one of those games where you develop some trust in your teammates? I mean, you didn't force anything out there. You just kind of let them, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, you just – that's what it is. You know, we have a bunch of guys who can contribute to this team, and, you know, I'm not going to go force it if my game's not on, and I just wanted to just be a playmaker and just make things happen.
So when you hit that three, you remember your reaction?
Thank goodness. Finally.
How much did you need this tonight just to kind of get the thing going in the right direction again?
Yeah, just to get it. That's got to start somewhere. For as bad as we played these past couple of games, and you know, it's just good to get one. I don't care if it's up or down or not. You have to get wins and just to gain confidence.
Best defensive quarter in a long time, too.
Yeah, I agree. I just think everybody had confidence in their individual defense as well as their team defense. And, you know, I mean, if the guy, you know, broke us down or whatever, the next guy was there. You know, it was just fun to watch and be a part of.
All right, so despite a down night in terms of individual performance, you can see Vince in a pretty good mood. Just 11 points tonight on 3 of 10 shooting, but he did contribute in different ways tonight, nailing 2 threes and contributing 8 rebounds. In fact, these were very uncharacteristic 3 games for Vince Carter, as, again, he was averaging well over 20 points a game, but not the case over the past 3. Maybe this is the thing that will get him turned around. Even Richard Jefferson, 13 of his 15 points coming in the second half. A few moments ago, we talked to Michelle Beadle about tonight's win.
Oh, I guess we're not. Richard, Coach said that there may not necessarily ever be that turning point, quote-unquote, that everyone's waiting for. Is that something that you necessarily agree with, or would you look at tonight as maybe being a version of that?
Well, it's, you know, every time you win a game, you know, people think, you know, is this something to build on? Is this a turning point? Every time you lose a game, is it back to the drawing board? It's like, no, you know, you just have to start playing more and more consistent. You know, tonight, you know, we've blown a bunch of leads going into the fourth quarter, and tonight we were down going into the fourth and had a very good defensive effort out there. So, you know, it was a good game. We have 2 very tough games in front of us now in this next homestand. So, you know, hopefully it's something to build on.
How hard was it to figure out the zone?
It wasn't that bad. I think where we got into a lot of trouble, because we were scoring points in the first half. The place where we got into trouble is that, you know, because they don't really defensively, you know, they don't really get to the glass very well. And so we were trying to get to the offensive glass, And if you don't get it, they're getting transition points. Like, I think they had 35 transition points. And that's something that's uncharacteristic of our defense. And so that's where we struggled, especially in the first half. And in the second half, we cut that down a little bit.
Those runouts off makes, what did Lawrence say about it after?
Just that. He's like, you know, we're not normally a team that goes to the offensive glass, but, you know, they don't really box out. They try and get out. They try and get out and run. They don't care if you really score or whatever. So, you know, you go there and, you know, you try and get that ball, but if you don't get it, they're going to get 2 points on the other end. So you just say, hey, just be smart. You know, 1 and 2 have to get back and just kind of understand that if there's a guard penetrating a 3 or 4 man, that might have to get back.
Was that aggression on the offensive glass kind of the reason for the early fouls, too, and you have to adjust that in the second half?
Well, I think so. You had to adjust a little bit, but it was just, it was so open, and we just had so many good looks. Antoine Wright, you know, myself, a couple other guys couldn't even get shots right at the rim, couldn't finish them. And, you know, a lot of them is because we got offensive rebounds, we just couldn't knock them down. And so once we kind of slowed down a little bit and got back on defense, it made it a little bit easier.
All right, so a good night for the Nets. That's it for the Nissan postgame. Make sure you come back with us Wednesday night when the Nets host LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Our pregame show begins at 7:30 with tip-off time coming at 7 and complete coverage after the final buzzer. So for Brian Eagle, Jim Sponarkle, Michelle Beadle, and the rest of our Yes Network team, I'm Bob Lorenz. Thanks so much for being here.